The blessing is ours. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 9 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 9. We started this last week, and we had a... It's tough. To be honest, when I said this last week too, so we'll continue being honest about that. When I was preparing the message, I wasn't thinking about it being a fifth Sunday. And the message I had was not an after we ate well kind of, you know. And so I was seeing some. I feel that, man. One of the worst feelings to me in the world is when you're trying to stay awake. You're like, you know, but you're fighting, man. It is to me one of the worst pains. You're like trying to stay awake, and like I want to be a good Christian, and you're just kind of like asleep with your anyway. So. When I see you doing that, I feel your pain. I don't want to bring you there. So, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1, Bible says, Now in the 24th day of the ninth month, I'm sorry, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So we concluded last week with what revival looks like. So I want to just recap that as our first point tonight. What revival looks like. There was immediate separation from some things. Revival brings separation, right? Revival is to revive us, get back to that place that we once were, but get back to that place where we always should have been, right? It brings separation. Rarely will anyone have true separation. I'm sorry. Rarely will anyone have true revival in their life without having something that they're going to have to put off from their life. Rarely are you going to come into revival without there being any change in your life. Man, I just want God to move in my life in a supernatural way. Well, if He hasn't already been doing that, doing what you're doing, right? Probably means either God has to change or I do. I'm going to tell you which one is only one of those is going to happen. It's going to be this one. And so that's just the way it works. Listen, if you want to see an enduring, lasting revival in your life, one that truly brings you closer to the Lord and stirs and drives your life to holiness, it will be by letting the Word of God convict you. Talked about this last week. It's not about me becoming like somebody else. It's not like me being like the others. It's not me being, I just want to be more like somebody else. I mean, there's examples, and we look to people, and you know, if I see somebody that I admire for their holiness, what I want to see is how they follow the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me because I figured it out. No, as a matter of fact, he said, it's not that I have attained, right? But follow me as I follow Christ. And so what they read for the 4th part of the day out of God's Word is what convicted them to confess. Okay? They read and then they confessed. If we're going to make some change in our life, look to the Word of God to determine that change. If you want it to be lasting. If you want it to be lasting, let it be the Word of God, not let it be something else that you feel like this is going to be great because this is what other really good Christians do. If they're doing it because they look to the Word of God and we look to them and ask, hey, what's different in your life? And they say, I did this from the Word of God, then we're looking to the Word of God, right? Let the Word of God be what stirs us, not other people. That's what I'm trying to say. The Word of God, the Word of God has plenty that will be concise on God's direction for you. There's plenty of things in the Word of God that tells us exactly what He wants from us. As I mentioned last week, two things. In the Old Testament, it was clearly defined actions, right? The Old Testament was, thou shalt Thou shalt not. The Old Testament was do this. The Old Testament was don't do this. There was clearly defined things that they were supposed to do, and if they did that, they'd be right with God. Put off these things, put on these things, do this thing, and there are a lot of ceremonial things, but it was all very much about action. In the New Testament, it's clearly defined about clearly defined attitudes. How we are to, and really a big part of it, I'm telling you folks, a big part of it is how we're to relate one to another. They'll know you by your love one to another. Isn't that something? So we become identified by our love one to another as believers. Isn't that an interesting thing? This doesn't seem like modern day Christianity, does it? But this is what God said. They're going to know you by your love one to another. And so there's some attitudes. Some attitudes. It's less about actions and more about attitudes. Now, when I say that, our attitude about things and the way we think about things changes and affects our actions. If I say, I love you, and I say, you know, go be warm and filled. That isn't love, right? You could say, yeah, I'm pulling for you. Hope it works out for you. No, that's, you know, so when our attitude is changed, and here's what the Lord knows. Actions alone didn't fix the nation of Israel. But in the New Testament, he said, listen, what it is, it's about the attitude. We change our attitude, the actions that follow that are genuine. So, number two, what true revival causes. Look at verse 4 now. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani and Kadmiel and Shebaniah and Buni, Sherebiah, Bani and Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Okay, I'm going to have to just get this down just a second to get this ring out of it. A little bit better? Was it just me hearing the ring? Was y'all hearing that? Okay, good. All right, y'all can still hear me in the back? Good. All right. So, and then verse 5. Then the Levites, Jeshua and like this, the same list again, a little bit different. Kadmiel and Bani, Hashbani, Sherai, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Okay, true revival brings praises not to us. Wait. True revival doesn't bring praise to us for becoming so holy and sanctified. I just came from a revival meeting. Right? God is just blessing me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be a little bit ridiculous, but this isn't, and you're like, who does that? I don't know who does it. It just felt fun to do that. So, listen, here's the thing. We're not talking about this doesn't become, you know, revival, really, I just got really good during this last revival. God is really just doing something. No, listen, I'm going to tell you, here's what happens. This is what I'm talking about, it's attitude, not actions. And this thing is, listen, becoming, it's not because, and we're not praising, we don't become us become because we become so holy and sanctified and the proclaimer of how separated we are. I don't do that anymore. Right? I don't do that. By the way, don't do those. There's some things you should put off. We talked about that. Obviously, separation is important. But the world doesn't need to know how separated you are in everything. Y'all heard my story. I've talked about that many times. That's where I thought Christianity was all about, is what I don't do. And I had a spiritual level based on what I didn't do anymore. And by the way, some of that is true. But it's not how I proclaim how great I am because I don't do those things anymore. No, listen, folks. Here's what happened. Revival does this. It brings glory and praise and blessing to the Lord. You know what it changes? It's really kind of this. I talk less about me and more about Him. I talk less about the problems in my life and I talk more about Him. Listen, I worry less about me and I talk more about Him. It's praise. It's what it does. What happened to them that day wasn't a realization of how great they were becoming, but how awesome God is. Isn't it something when we find, we've been reading through this post-exile Israel, every time something comes up, what they realized is how wrong they were. Right? They didn't come around somewhere and come to some scripture and say, man, we're really getting this. No, what they realized is we were a long ways away, and it caused them to repent and get back to Him. So look at verse 6 now. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. They're talking to God. In prayer. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Listen, here's this, folks. Revival is about re-seeing God as He is. Re-seeing Him. I mean, to re-look at God and say, and I think this is what happened. They kind of got lost of who God was. We can do that, right? We can get lost about who God is. We kind of forget about who He is and what He's meant and what He's done. Man, we're all guilty of that. And we just get going about our life and forget that this. We're not talking about, yeah, I got to go to church. Man, we should never use a phrase like that. We should not. Yeah, I got to go to church tonight. Man, I'm about to go meet and hear about the one that has made heaven and the heaven of heavens, right? And all the hosts and all the earth and listen, all the things of the seas and all that's therein and the one that preserved them. I'm talking about all the hosts of heaven worship Him. I'm going to go join in. It's about re-seeing Him. For the Jews, right here, it was about remembering what God had done for them. Look at verse 7. We're going to be covering a lot of scripture tonight. We're going to try to get through this. I want to try to get through this in a way that we can grab a hold of what's being said. Grab a hold of the process here. And so we can grab a hold of the truths and the things that are going on and the story. Verse 7, it says, Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give that the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, and to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and upon all his servants, and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. Listen, they begin with remembering where God began with them. I said this morning, sometimes we have some things in our life, some things we deal with in our life, and to troubles that come in to remember, some things some sins that we had, some great places that we did, we still forget them. God doesn't remember anymore, but He doesn't remove that memory from us, because sometimes we need to remember where we came from. I'm so far away from my, so far away from that old life. Sometimes when I think about that old life, sometimes when I share my testimony about that old life, it's almost like I'm talking about some other guy. Do you know what I mean? As my kids started getting older, and I would be there telling my testimony, I debated whether I'd say all those things in front of my kids when they're little. They're like, "Daddy did that," you know. And I realized, no, that's. There's something important about that. It's almost unbelievable. When I've shared my testimony with people, they're like, "No way, that wasn't you." And sometimes I've almost been like, no, that wasn't me. You know, you're thinking, man, that was me. How on earth was it? So far, where God, and so what they were doing is they were saying, this is where we started from. Where God brought us from, we were nothing. And God chose out a man, Abram, and what He did with him through Egypt and all these things that God did with him. That began by remembering where God began with them. And then verse 11, "And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deep, as a stone into the mighty water." He said this. He said, the people that persecuted him, you grabbed them and threw them out into the deep like there was just a stone. That's my Lord. That's what they're saying there. And verse 12, "Wherever thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgment and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest thou them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger." Could you imagine some sourdough just coming out of heaven? It's kind of like it is at my house. No, except for it comes from the oven. It heats up the house. Used to. Now we got outside oven. Anyway, another story. Could you just imagine bread coming down? Now, it wasn't bread. It was manna. Well, what was manna? It was manna. What it looked like? Coriander seed. It was something. Isn't it something? What is it looking? Just don't worry about it. God sent it from heaven. That's what it's like. God said, you don't even know everything. Because you do that, you're going to go try to replicate it. I think we could recreate manna. No, listen. God said, but could you imagine just like every day? Isn't it unbelievable? Every day it rained food. What other food did they have? That was it. That was it. Food came down. It came down. You picked it up, what you need. You made it. Whatever was left was rotten the next day. So you got it next day. Except for one day of the week, it'd last 2 days. Do the science me on that one, right? Well, the sun. No, I'm telling you, it's amazing what God did. It's just amazing. They're remembering this thing. Verse 15. "And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock." You ever had rock water? No, I don't mean like a fountain. I mean like there's a rock. Isn't it amazing? You know what they're remembering? Where God brought them from, what God did with them. And he finished and he said, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. Listen, they remembered how God delivered them from their affliction, from the bondage that they were trapped in, folks. We were all trapped in this. You said, well, I got saved when I was a kid. I'm telling you, you were freed from a bondage for all intents and purposes. You didn't know you were even in. Praise the Lord if you're saved as a kid. If you're saved as a kid, life's super easy then. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we were all been free, just like what they're talking about, freed from a bondage. And they're just remembered what God had delivered them from, what they were trapped in. Verse 16, he goes on. He says, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations, yet thou and thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Man. You know what else they did? They remembered the transgression of their fathers. Their hard-heartedness. The rejection of God's ways. You know what I'm really thankful in the Bible? It doesn't make everybody out like they're perfect. Make them out like they're perfect and we're supposed to follow that example. No, you know it says, over and over the Lord makes this very clear that even my people, my chosen people, the people that I've given all every blessing, everything to, they kept messing up with hard-heartedness, stiff-necked people. And to the place, and what God demonstrated to us, even in the midst of that, God didn't forsake them. He didn't forsake. This is what they're remembering. They're remembering them, but they also remembered how God didn't forsake them, but continually brought them out of their trouble. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, and thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth. And gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so they possessed the land of Sihon and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multipliedest thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou hadst promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. They remembered how God kept the promises unto His people. God said, I'm going to do this. But they turned from Him. God said, I'm still going to do it because my promise isn't conditional upon you. My promise is conditional on what I say. It's going to happen. Now, you blew it, but the next generation, okay, we're going to give it to you. Nope, you blew it. Next. God kept His promise, though. They remembered that. He continually brought them out of trouble. And they remembered this, and He kept His promise to these people, giving them everything He said He would give them. Verse 24. So the children went in and possessed the land. And thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Woo! They remembered how God was the one that went in before them. Hey, listen, it was God that went in before them. It was God that subdued the people. God is the one that gave them the victory. You know what they said? Listen, God, you brought us into a land that was already ready for us. Houses full of stuff. You ever bought a house or somebody gave you a house that was full of all the stuff that you'd want in a house? Yeah, normally they don't come like that. Normally, normally people don't give you houses. Second, if they would give it to you, it wouldn't be full of all the stuff. They'd take their stuff. And not only that, but there's fruit trees that are already bearing vineyards. All the stuff's already there. He said, God, you brought us in and you set us up. You set us up for a perfect situation. What a wonderful thing. Could you imagine? God, what they're remembering is, God, you're the one that set us up for this. We didn't get ourselves there. You got us there. It's really what they're doing. They came into a life of abundance at the hand of God. Wish God would do that for us today. We sometimes would say something like that, right? Why, we're the ones with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, right? Look at verse 26. And nevertheless, they were, what's that word? Disobedient. Isn't that frustrating when you read through this stuff? I'm glad we're not like that today. Right? They were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gave them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Oh, man. They remembered how once and again they disobeyed God, and it brought them again into a time of trouble. It brought them they said, we remember, listen, even though they had all this and you gave them everything, God, they disobeyed. They were more interested in the stuff than they were in you. They were more interested in what you blessed them with, and how do we keep what God blessed us with? You ever grabbed onto something so tight you want and you break it? Right? You know fidgeters? Y'all know anybody that's a fidgeter? They grab things, they just fidget with it. I got several of my girls, I'm like, put it down. Put it down. And at this point in their life, they're like, okay, yeah. Because they'll fidget with it, not paying attention. You know, sometimes what we'll do, we'll grab onto something so tight, guard that thing. Guard that thing like I got to keep this precious thing so secured that the thing rots. It's ruined. It's wasted. We would do this when we go back to the we come back to the States from Sri Lanka. We'd go back. And when we go back to Sri Lanka, we'd take certain foods like candy canes. Right? Candy canes. You can't get candy canes in the rest of the world. I don't know if you knew that or not. Candy canes, and my girls like candy. We like candy canes. So we'd do something. We'd get Reese's peanut butter cups. I used to eat those things like they were candy. And so we'd have this stuff, and we get it back, and I'm like, we're gonna, you know, hoard this and keep. And then we forget about it. And you go in there, you're like, I think I want one, but if I got one, then I won't have one for later, right? And so we had cases of candy canes. So one day we forgot about them. One day we opened up the dishwasher because we didn't use the dishwasher. It was storage for us. We opened it up. There was all those candy canes melted, wasted. So disappointing. Sometime after that, I thought, you know what? When we bring food back, let's not save it for the next 6 months. Let's have a few weeks down the road. But sometimes we'll do that. And this is what they did. They were so focused on what God had given them that they stopped paying attention to God. But they remembered here in this how God had delivered them out of that time of trouble. And once again, it goes on in this kind of thing. Verse 28. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. You kind of get in the picture here, isn't it? It's like a broken record. They did evil again before thee. Therefore, leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet, when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifiedest against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. They remembered how the people, after they received God's great blessings, again did evil, turning from God to do life their own way. Folks, listen. We're just as human as they. They're just as human as we are. We're prone to wander back again. Many times getting themselves in trouble and God delivering them again. They determined to live apart from the blessing of God until God would not hear them. Look at verse 30. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiedest against them by thy Spirit in the prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Listen, ultimately, they were so far away from God, they were given back over to the people of the land. The very people that God delivered them from. Can I say, the very prisons, the very captivity that God rescued them from, they went and said, give me the key, I want back in there. I want back in there. And God says, no. And He brings somebody to say, no, I'm not going to let you go in there. And they kill them. And then they realize, okay, no, we made a bet. We get in there. They get in there and they slam the door shut on their own cage. And they say, oh God, we made a mistake. We've sinned against you. Help us out again. God says, okay. Opens it up and they come out. And then they're like, they're out here for a little bit and say, you know what? Let's go back. I don't know if there's things much more frustrating than watching a believer continue to go back to the cesspool of their sin. People that have seen the hand of God and enjoyed being among God's people. You know, I've had to realize over the years that sometimes the reason we come into a place like this and people leave and they're excited is because they were never really put their trust in Christ. They'll come and they'll go along with it, the religion, they go with it, they got the outer looks good, but something in their heart, and we find these people go back and forth and back and forth. Ultimately, we find here they were so far away from God, they were given back over to the people of the land for a time. For a time. Look at verse 31. Story continues. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our kings, and on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just. And all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. They remembered whose fault, whose sin, whose transgression these things had come from. Listen, I appreciate this honesty. I mean, I wish we could see more of this. It feels like a lot of times, it's almost like Pharaoh's honesty. Okay, I'll let him go. I'll let you go. But just ask God to take away the stuff, right? And the next day, just kidding. You're not going anywhere, right? Or you could go, but your children stay. Or you can go, but the cattle stay. Or you can go, you know, and it's like, no, God said we're taking out the whole deal. And so there's always this something. But no, here they remembered whose fault. This was, God, you're just. Can I say, folks, can you grab a hold of this? I hope we can grab a hold of this. If something comes to my life because of me, God is just. God is just. They knew whose transgression these things came from. They've also brought this affliction among their people by following in the ways of their father. Look at verse 36 now. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings, whom thou hast set over us because of our sin. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at thy pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Third point tonight I want to talk about is the desire for revival. They just, it was a long portion. He just got up and prayed and spoke to God about this is what you've done, God. This is what you've done, is what we've done. You're right, we're wrong, we're in affliction because of it, but we're ready. We're ready to sign a covenant with you. God, I'm ready to pen ink a deal, right? We're ready to ink a deal with you, God, right? We want to put it down on paper. It's kind of a little funny when you think about it. But when they would deal with sealing that day, it was something different. I want us to look at something right here, chapter 10. Now those that sealed were Nehemiah, the Tirshathah, which is the governor, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah and Sariah and Azariah, Jeremiah, Pastor, Amariah, Malchijai, and a bunch of names. I'm not going to get all these tonight, folks. Y'all are going to fall asleep before I get through them. And he goes through, this is just a list, verse 27. Y'all go back and read all those. These are all individuals. This long list of names were individuals that said, I will sign, covenanting with God not to let this happen again unto my people. I mean, it went on, verse 28, and the rest of the people, and the priests, and the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands, under the law of God, their wives, and their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. I mean, listen, it's this whole group of folks. And they say, verse 29, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, judgments of the Lord our Lord, and His judgments and His statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And verse 31, and if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy of it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every day. You know, they said, listen, even if other people come do it, we're not going to partake with them. No. Other people are doing it. We're not going to do it, Lord. We're going to covenant together. We're signing. We're saying, listen, even if other people bring their goods, we're not going to buy them on the Sabbath day. We're going to keep it holy. We're not going to do it. That's what they're saying. Verse 32, and also we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our Lord. You know what they say, Lord, God, we're going to be putting some of our own money in this thing. We're going to put back like you said we're supposed to. We're going to get back to the tithe. We're going to get back to the tithe. Not because I've got excess, but I'm going to go, God, we're going to give you what you said you wanted from us because God needs our stuff. Right? God is broke. He needs us to ante up a little bit. No, he said, listen, God, you've been so good to us. You do this for us, we go away. Our people have done this. We're going to covenant together. God, we don't want to be in this situation anymore, is what they're saying. We don't want to be in this kind of place. And verse 33, and for the showbread, and for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, and for the holy things, and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. They said, we're going to put that money to the house of the Lord for that thing. Verse 34, and we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. He said, you know what we're going to do as the law said. We're going to take cast lots of who brings the wood to burn at the altar. I said, listen, we're not just giving lip service. We're going to get involved with this thing. This is going to be what we're going to get involved. This is where we're going to be. This is, God, we're going to be serious according to the law. Verse 35. And to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruits, of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings, and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine, and of oil unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, and that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priests, the sons of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. And the Levites shall bring upon the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers and to the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn and of the new wine and of the oil unto the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister and the porters and the singers. And we will not forsake the house of our God. That's two chapters we did today. Okay. Let me talk about it a bit. We got 5 minutes. The people, the wives, the children, committing not to go down that same road again. We want to get back. We want to get back to the book. That's what they said. I want to get back to this. There had been generations. Generation after generation after generation that weren't on the book, they were on to them. They were followers of tradition. By the way, some of the other tradition wasn't terrible, but it wasn't the book. They said, we're all getting together. We don't want to go down this thing. They determined to fulfill the laws of the Word of God, doing all the things God commanded, doing it His way, even when it cost them financially. It'll cost us in relationships. We miss out on some family gatherings, right? We miss out on some work occasions. Maybe it's sometimes because of how they celebrate it, right? They want to celebrate. These girls were over working at the Christian daycare, and they said, yeah, we had this get-together, and one of the managers makes really good margaritas or some drink. Christian daycare, it seems fitting, right? And you're like, no, we're not going to go there. we're not going to be a part of that. Just, we don't do that. No, it's not we don't do that. No, we're going to avoid. And some people say, if you butter up, you could get a promotion. It cost us in our community. Everybody else gets together and has a good time, but those Christians over the preacher, You don't have to be a preacher, just if you're like living for the Lord, you're the preacher, right? All of a sudden you're... because we do not want to return to the same problems that came to our lives over and over. Here's our conclusion. A two-week conclusion. Okay, first of all is this. Point number one. Revival doesn't come apart from this book. Hope you all get that tonight. Revival will not come apart from this book. But revival does come in the form of separation. So, that means listen up. I wish I could do that on, What God's already revealed to you, I'm saying to you tonight what God's already revealed to you from His Word, that He wants, let me rephrase it, this question. What, that makes more sense what I'm reading here. What has God already revealed to you from His Word that He wants you to put off or to put on in your life? I want you to think about that tonight. What has God already revealed to you? You're like, maybe I know God wants me to do it. You know it. You know, we get some of those things. I know God wants me to do this, and you hate it because you love the thing that He wants you to put off. You know what I'm saying? We really like this thing, and we know God doesn't really want us to do it, and we've been thinking about it over and over, and God keeps bringing that same thing back to us, and we're like, no, I don't want to do it. I know God wants me to, and I know I should. I know I'm going to. Eventually. And it keeps coming up. And we keep going the circle of our life. We come back and God said, hey, this thing. And you're like, hey, God, how about something else? And God said, okay, how about this same thing? You're like, God, is there like option door two or something? And God says, not really. Not really, because what I want you to give me is you. And you know what God wants from us? The thing that gets between me and Him. He said, I want you to give that up. And Folks, by the way, I'm not talking about, okay, I'm going to give up pizza. No, I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about something in here that God says, I want you to stop doing that. I want you to get something a little bit different. What has God already revealed in your life? My hope is that each one of us tonight would determine that now is the time for holy living for the Lord. Corporately. Right? Hey, you know, what if no one else does? What if no one else does? Then be the spark of revival that our church needs. I told you last week, I really believe God wants us to have a Sunday to Sunday. You know who all is doing that these days? I don't either. Do you know who I care about is doing it? It's just us. You say, well, do we find that in the Word of God? Well, we looked at that last week. You say, well, does that mean that's what we're supposed to do? I'm just saying I think God's leading us that way. And I want to let y'all know I've scheduled it. You say, you scheduled it from last week? I did. I wrote to the preacher I wanted to come, and I'd already been thinking about this man. It's funny, because later on I connected it. When we started a church up in Iowa 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, it's been probably 23 years ago we started a church up there, and we started the church plant, city, nothing, and we started going, and I said, Lord, I think it's the time we had some folks got saved, we got some people, I said, Lord, I think I want to have a revival. I don't know anybody. I didn't know anybody. I said, God, I wanted to have somebody come and preach. I didn't know anybody. We went to a meeting. I heard this guy, this old Kentucky Baptist preacher. And I heard him preach one message somewhere. And the Lord just laid on my heart, that's the guy. And so I called him. I said, hey, if you're ever going to come through Iowa, let me know. And I'd like you to come to our church. He said, well, tell me when you want me to come and I'll come. I said, no, I wasn't even paid. I mean, we didn't have no money. You understand? We used all the money we had to pay the bills, and then we need to find some extra money. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. And I said, we can't really give you much of an offering, so I'd rather just when you're here. He said, no, sir. He said, you tell me when you want me to come, and I'm going to come. Oh, that scared the life out of this young preacher. I thought, oh, man, what are we going to do? Get this guy and drive and bring his family. He had two kids with him at the time, bringing them up there from Kentucky. I thought, oh, man. God bless. I figured out what it cost. We gave him enough to probably just pay for his trip. But, amen. He came, and he still goes to that church every year, revival. So I was talking to his daughter, and I said, I'd like your dad to come out and pray. I said, is your dad still preaching? He's an older guy. I said, is your dad still going out preaching? He said, yeah. I said, is he okay? He said, he's best when he's out preaching. And so I said, okay. So I wrote him. I've been thinking about it. I wrote him this last week. He was at youth camp. He preached 3 weeks at youth camp. So I think he's got a week in him. Amen. And I just he's different than me. I mean, he's older. You know, he's a lot older than me. One of the sweetest men I know. And he's coming in November. We're going to have a week in November. It's going to be before Thanksgiving. I'm going to get it. I'm trying there's a couple weeks there. I said, which one of those weeks? But we're going to schedule it. Folks, I want to encourage us. We're going to be talking about revival more. I'd like us to be revived before revival starts. Amen. Let's get back, and maybe revival will turn into evangelism. I don't know what it's going to be, but I believe it's the time for us to get holy living for the Lord. You say, well, I don't know if I can be like somebody else. That ain't what we want to do. God wants to do something in your life. As an individual, God wants to do something. You think God cares about you like that? Isn't that awesome? That God cares about us in that way, that He wants to do something in each and every one of our lives individually. And so that's my prayer, my hope. Revival brings a renewed praise, thanksgiving, and blessing toward God. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray tonight that you would stir our hearts to this thing that we read of the nation of Israel. Lord, they'd gotten mess after mess after mess, and yet they were at a time in their ministry that was really going the greatest in their nation. The temple was rebuilt, the walls were rebuilt, the gates were up. The people were together, and yet that is the time, Lord, that they decided to take the next step. Lord, we don't find revival when we're in the pits. We find revival when we're already stirred. So, Lord, I'm thankful that you've brought us together into a church of folks that want to see you work in our midst. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be a people on the verge, prone for revival. Lord, would you do something in our midst that would be supernatural, be beyond our skill, beyond our ability, Lord, that we can look to you and praise, worship, and glorify what you do in our midst. Lord, we come as a needy people. We've not been perfect, nor are we perfect. Yet, Lord, we're going to seek you to do that in our midst of what we cannot do on our own. And Lord, though we schedule a time of meetings, Lord, we can't schedule revival. So, Lord, I'm asking you to even stir us now. Beginning even tonight, maybe you would burden hearts about something that you've already been speaking to them about. Pray that today would be the beginning. Well, thank you now in Jesus' name.